Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. I've been sending up sticky prayers all week long.
Sticky prayers.
Not stinky prayers.
Well, that's good.
Is this kind of like when the spaghetti's almost done, you fling it on the wall to see if it sticks?
It's absolutely nothing like that.
No. Oh,
okay. No, not at all. No, sticky prayers. I got these little post-it notes for Christmas this past year. I wish this was a video show.
Yeah,
I know, because these are great. These are sticky prayers. You can stick a prayer anywhere. Little post-it note pads, and they have this little circle that you can write your prayer in. It says, "Father, I pray, blah, blah, blah. Dear Lord, blah, blah, and Heavenly Father," my favorite. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Heavenly Father. We ask Heavenly Father that you would Heavenly Father.
So, what do you use your sticky prayers for?
I haven't used them yet. I said I had. I said I've been using them all week. I've actually just been looking at them all week.
Well, I think they're fabulous, and I would put them all over my house.
There, Haley, those are for you.
Leave my family reminders of things to do.
Okay, like, no.
Lord, like, the Heavenly Father.
Dear Lord, I pray that these people would put their dishes in the dishwasher.
Oh,
and then I would just stick it by the table.
Or just thank the Lord with faith that they already have. You know, Father, I pray that you would bless my husband for fixing the sink.
Oh, yeah. Or, dear Lord, bless Clint for picking up his dirty socks.
Yes, yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you that my children wash their dishes and put them back where they belong.
Yes. Father, I pray.
Heavenly Father.
Oh, well, no, that's the other one,
oh,
right?
Oh, Father, I pray. Yeah.
Father, I pray that my children are blessed because they shower daily and don't smell.
Wow. Wonderful.
You guys are really picking up on some of the really more common themed prayers that I grew up in church with. Where they pray, but they're not really praying because they go to preaching.
They're
when they
praying.
Oh, yes.
It's
yes.
Actually this really fun thing called manipulation that right. The Bible calls witchcraft.
Yes, yes. Oh. Wonderful.
Ouch.
Yes. So we're praying to everyone else in the room other than Heavenly Father. So sticky prayers, they're not just prayers you can stick anywhere. They're also manipulative tools.
Yes.
There you go, Haley. Enjoy
Yay!
Those. Enjoy
I'm
those
so
sticky
excited.
Prayers. You're the winner for today.
I'm going to stick them all over Clint's side of the bedroom.
What do you think, Clint?
Well, you could have sticky prayer business cards.
You could use them like the tracks, like the fake $1 million bills that people leave in the bathroom.
Yes.
And you could like take them to a restaurant and be like, Heavenly Father, I thank you that these people will get saved and not burn in hell for eternity.
Oh,
and then
goodness.
Stick it on the stall.
I'm going to make business cards with just a blank prayer request on the back.
Like if you had a prayer request business card and people could mail it to you and then you just get prayer requests all the time. That's actually kind of a good idea.
Wow.
I'd take it to the war room.
The stuff we come up with. Have you guys ever been fooled by the $1 million bill?
No.
Is there a $1 million bill?
There is not.
Have you been fooled by the $1 million bill?
Well, the first time I was like, what's that?
Oh, no way.
Oh my gosh. See, those make
but
me angry.
I was in college and I was unsaved and all that
those
stuff.
Those things are like, you're going to give someone a gift and then go, just kidding.
When I was in college, I was so religious and I was not saved that I actually gave people tracks that I didn't like. Which is really along the same lines of what we're talking
what
about
the
today.
Little chick tracks, like the little
yep.
comic book tracks?
Oh, yeah.
Why did you give them tracks if you didn't like them?
Oh, because they needed to be convicted.
But you were a lost...
I know, the irony.
Repulsive human.
Whoa, easy.
Wow.
Give me one of those sticky notes. I need one for Haley.
Well, okay, Clint, I will bless you too because I got two packs. There you go, buddy.
Two for one. Haley?
Yep. Sticky
no.
prayers for Haley. You could have sticky prayer wars.
Sticky prayer wars.
We're getting ready to have revival at our house.
We're about to have revival here on the Next Gen Worship broadcast as we dive into the topic today, risk takers and history makers. A little later on the show, we'll have Chad Johnson, author of 1,000 Risks. It's going to be a great show. Stick around.
I hope your mom isn't the one who gave these to you.
We have seen a whole city respond in unison to the Lord. We have seen a city love God together. Our worship has shifted the atmosphere over our city and our region. We have seen the body of Christ unite. Unite worship gatherings continue in 2018 with our 3-year anniversary, Friday and Saturday, February 16th and 17th at Impact Life Church. Now extended to 36 hours devoted to vertical worship and building community. There is no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders will be worshiping in the round, joined by the people and presence of God. Unite worship gatherings are hosted by a different church every quarter. To participate or find out when the next Unite worship gathering is scheduled, go to uniteworshipgatherings.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're going to dive into the topic of a generation of change. And we're fortunate to have on the program with us from Vertical Worship, formerly the Vertical Church Band.
Yeah.
Andy Rozier is going to be on the program.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Today, we are talking about risk takers and history makers.
That was a neat voice.
It's a little bit cliche.
Well, I thought about, there's a show that I used to watch called Masterpiece Theater. It always dived into some kind of historical
Masterpiece Theater, like on public television?
Masterpiece Theater. And that's why I went there. I don't know why.
We love Masterpiece Theater.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Downton Abbey, all the way.
Okay. We cannot go down the Downton Abbey road.
Whatever.
All right, let's talk about risk. A lot of times is viewed as negligence because we have like an earthly perspective. When we hear this word risk, we want to go into protective mode. No, don't take a risk. Don't do something, you know, stay in the safe box. Stay, you know, stay in a place that where all the outcomes are expected. But when we look at this through the lens of heaven, we actually realize that risk is required. And risk is actually an outward response of the inside yes that partners with hope. So people that dream with God, people that hope with God, become risk takers because the impossible all of a sudden seems logical. And when the impossible is logical in our mind, which is kind of representing the mind of Christ, man, we start looking kind of risky. We start going after stuff that nobody sees. And we start going after things that are going to bring change and lead people in a direction that's very victorious for their lives and that starts new things. And so risk is a huge kingdom thing. And we've even heard some of our heroes say that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So risk, a great topic.
If you think about it, the only way to make history is to take risk.
That's right.
I mean, you look back on history and all the things that have, you know, been invented or discovered, all of those things required someone to take a leap of faith.
That's true. Going back to the Bible here, where we actually inherit the promises, what does it say that we have to have in order to inherit? It says, faith and patience inherits the promises, and it takes risk to go after things that you may not see right away. Like we've got, you know, vision and dreams for the future. And really it applies to anybody that's going after a breakthrough. You talk about like inventors that went for something like Edison. Like how many times did he try to make the light bulb? It was a bunch.
Yeah.
And he didn't give up. And he had to have that perseverance to take risk after risk after risk.
How many people tried to invent the light bulb before Tesla or Edison and gave up?
Right. Well, there's another story about Einstein. I don't know if it's true. I saw it on the internet. But if it is true, it's a good story that his teacher sent a note home with him. It said, this boy is mentally deficient. He can't come to school here anymore. And so his mom took him out of school and said, you know, they said, you're too smart for that school and you need to learn at home. And he lived up to that.
Yeah.
You know, and he went on to pioneer so many things, but that the element of risk, the element of just going into the unknown, and that's really as sons of God and children of God, that's kind of our assignment.
Yeah.
This is a really difficult subject for me because I am not by nature a risk taker, and frankly, I'm a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Right now. Well, I think a lot of people are there, so let's speak to those people.
I mean, you know, there's risk in faith, like believing for healing or like, you know, stepping out in a word of knowledge or praying for the sick. And then there's, you know, jumping off a mountain with a flying squirrel parachute cape attached to your back. So I pretty much tend to put all risk in the category of the latter.
Mm. Well, what is the difference between risk that's divine and risk that's negligent?
Ah, probably the Holy Spirit.
Hmm. He gets to know the Holy Spirit.
It's all about relationship.
It really is. It's all about relationship because I do understand my own tendency to not want to take risks and realize that the Lord will ask me to take risks. And part of taking the risk is just being willing to say, okay, I'm willing to think about doing this.
Yeah. You can't turn the blinker on, but you haven't turned the corner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's risk for me.
If all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you do it?
Nope.
All of them?
If the Holy Spirit told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it?
I don't think he would tell me to jump off a cliff.
Yeah. We'll go with precedent.
I would call 911 for all the other suckers.
Nobody might tell you to take up your cross and follow him.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That in itself is risky. You know, I think that, you know, taking this to a little higher level, like risk is uniquely personal. It's something that everybody has to, like you said, Josh, discover through relationship. You know, what one guy's risk when Holy Spirit asks him to do something is not as risky for another guy, maybe. But I think we're looking at an entire generation where God is just asking and requiring risk of us in order to advance. The whole kingdom is turning a corner. You know, you've got apostles, prophets, evangelists kind of mobilizing together in a movement of transformation. And then you've got what's happening on the earth. Culture is shifting so hard. It's taking such a hard turn. And at the same time as we're having this kingdom awareness and advancement, we're also adjusting to culture as people who do live on the earth and kind of rolling that all into one. So it's a great opportunity for risk takers to make history. And we've said this before because it's a word the Holy Spirit spoke to me, but history will hear the sound that this generation makes. And this generation is not satisfied with the status quo. They are only satisfied with the option of taking risks, with the option of going where no man has gone before.
It's really true. And I think being willing to pursue a different lifestyle, a different, you know, standard of health in your marriage and your family and live different than the norm of our culture is part of being a risk taker.
So we'll dive into this topic a little deeper with Chad Johnson, author of 1,000 Risks, as we continue the topic of risk takers and history makers on the Next Year Worship broadcast. Stick around. Discover the number one biggest mistake you could be making online as a business owner. Get an exact step-by-step process for building a successful online presence. Identify solutions that will take you from where you are to where you want to be. And develop a custom roadmap for your success. Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Identity empowers businesses to thrive by offering professional web design, programming, film, video, marketing, advertising, business growth tools, and more, all based on proven strategies that work in every aspect of your brand. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be sitting down with Andy Rozier from Vertical Worship, talking about the generation of change. It's going to be an incredible show. You definitely don't want to miss that. Today, we've been talking about risk takers and history makers, and we're fortunate enough to have on the program with us today the author of 1,000 Risks. It's Chad Johnson.
Chad Johnson, welcome to the show today. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thanks, man. Great to be here.
Hey, I have thoroughly been enjoying our discussion. You know, we talk to people all over the United States, and we just keep hearing the same things from them concerning what God's speaking to them and even doing in their lives. So can't wait to dive into that. And we've got a book to talk about. But before we do that, just give us a little history. Who is Chad Johnson?
Yeah, man, that's great. Well, I think the most famous answer that I could possibly give is the former Cincinnati Bengals football player, which still to this day, when I pull out my driver's license and if I'm around the right person, they will not call me Chad Johnson. They will call me Ocho Cinco. So what? They'll be like, Ocho. And I am not a football fan. So at first I was like, what in the world are these people saying to me? And like, who is Ocho? And I know enough Spanish to know that's eight. Why are people calling me eight? But it's cool, man. The Lord just has, I think, birthed in me a desire to go after Jesus in kind of the messiness of life and recognizing that weakness is something that God will always use to flip around into strength that he can transform or that he can transform into strength. And so I am like the least likely person to have ever been in the music industry. I had a 12-year music career where I started my own record label. I ended up in a bunch of debt. My wife prayed because I didn't really even believe in Jesus at that point. And Jesus provided a creative solution for that debt. I ended up working for many years with quite a few bands and doing all kinds of stuff on the business side of things. And then a few years ago, just felt like Jesus said, come follow me. And it was like this invitation to dive in deeper waters than I'd ever been in. And it was scary and frightening and I don't know if I have what it takes to actually follow you. And yet, you know, Jesus doesn't just invite us, he empowers us. And so, so I've just been on this journey, man, where I just want to keep saying yes to the Lord and trusting him with my everything. And so, yeah, it's been a beautiful, beautiful season.
Awesome. You just recently wrote a book. Tell us the title of that book and kind of give us an overview and tell us why you decided to write that.
Yeah, man. It's called 1,000 Risks, Fighting Fear for an Awkward, Awesome Life with Jesus. And I I had to include the awkward along with the awesome because I don't know how else to develop a life of risk where awkward doesn't hang out with awesome. But really the why, have you ever read the book Start With Why?
No, but I have had several people recommend that to me. Okay, so here's another one. So
when you said earlier, like, hey, tell me about the why, I thought that's immediately what came to mind. Mm. And so anyway, the why behind it was that several years ago, as a Christian, I found myself wrestling and kind of struggling with how to learn to love Jesus and love neighbors as I was learning to love myself. And I was having coffee with my wife and she just like out of the blue said, what if you take 1,000 risks and kind of document your experience, the highs and lows of that experience? And immediately all the light bulbs flashed and fired off and I got all excited and like, okay, I'm going to start a blog and like see what happens. And the Lord really met me in that. And so I, by the grace of God, it took me 740 days wow. to take 1,000 risks, including my 40th birthday, where I took 40 risks in one day. I just wow. walked up to people at Walmart and I said, hey, today it's my birthday and I just want to know how I can bless you. And
that's awesome.
And so, you know, if you ever want to start taking risks, start on your birthday because nobody's going to reject you. You know, it's like, it's just easy. Hey, it's my birthday today. Everyone's like, oh, happy birthday. Let me hug you. And now can I pray for your, you know, whatever and, you know, do, you know, help with whatever. And so man, the Lord just, I think was stirring me up towards what I love in Hebrews 10:24, which is let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. And really just like, how can I learn to love people around me, even when I'm not on a missions trip or even when I'm not on a really cool kind of missional tour or event. And how do I just live more expressively in love with Jesus and in love with people? And so I'm still on that journey. You know, I by the grace of God, took 1,000 risks. I saw more miracles in 2 years than ever before in my life. And I witnessed more of God's power and his presence during that time than ever. But that was like, that's the starting point. And so the invitation doesn't end. It wasn't just I think that was just, you know, Jesus kind of just like prompting me in, you know, or just like, hey, come step into this thing, 1,000 risks. And then watch what I do with your life, you know, as a result. So yeah, it's really just how does the normal everyday person who loves Jesus learn to love him more as they're learning to love themselves and their neighbors along the way.
Yep. Why is the word risk important enough to put in the book title?
Well, I guess specifically for me, because that was the phrase that my wife used, and my pastor around just before this had used the phrase, take a risk. Your father is king of the universe. Mm. And so that, I think that maybe phrase had kind of started the idea of risk. And I had already been, I had left a music career. And so I was living this like weird Christian missionary in Nashville kind of life, learning to fundraise, trusting Jesus for provision, all of that stuff. And I think that risk was already in my heart. And so then when the idea came up of 1,000 risks, my wife had read a book called 1,000 Gifts. And so that's where the kind of the inspiration came to her, was through that book. And so when she passed it along, she just tweaked it to 1,000 risks, and it just stuck. It was just, I heard it and I was like, man, that's that, like, yeah, I need to do that. My wife just challenged me and I have to step up to the plate. You know, it was wild.
Yeah. You mentioned to me earlier that a lot of your journey has been centering around sonship and identity. Can you just talk to us a little bit about your journey through sonship and identity?
Yeah, I think especially as it relates to risk, that for me, the temptation has been that on the good days when I do step out and I take risks and I offer to pray for people, or I share prophetic words over people, or I tip excessively, or whatever the thing is that the Lord puts in my heart, on those days, I can convince myself that I'm a pretty good Christian, which means that on the bad days, when I don't take risk, when fear gets the upper hand, when I choose not to obey, and when I decide not to love, that I can also begin to feel like I'm a horrible Christian and I'm the worst Christian on the planet. And all of a sudden, you know, the devil doesn't even have to lie to me, because I'm already lying to me and I'm believing all my own lies. So yeah. I just think that sonship and intimacy and identity, all those things help remind us that no matter what we do, we are loved, we're valued, we're accepted by the Father through the blood of Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit on the good days and the bad days. And so they just kind of, I think sonship was the lesson that God has continued to teach me, that's recentered the focus away from me as the sort of hero in the story, and the hero, of course, is Jesus, and just focus back on, man, it's what he does through us. And so just admitting that if I am not growing close with Jesus, then there's some problems, you know, that we've got some issues.
Right.
That's the foundation. So intimacy and identity is the starting point.
Mm-hmm. I love asking people what they're dreaming about, and I know that you've got some big things in your heart. Just take a few minutes and tell us about the God-sized dream in your heart. What are the things the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, and what are you dreaming about for the future?
Yeah, thanks, Clint. I think that I, like I told you earlier, I just love that question. And thankfully, because of how often I also ask it, I'm fairly prepared. So I wasn't quite as stumped, you know, as I maybe should have been or could have been. But the first dream that a friend of mine challenged me with after I released the 1,000 Risk book was that he said, hey, man, what about 1,000,000 risks? Hmm. And I was like, well, dude, that's crazy. Like, That's crazy talk. I don't think I have it in me. Like, I had faith for 1,000, but I don't think I have faith for 1,000,000. And he said, no, it's not about you. Because of course, in the natural, it's so easy to make it about us, you know, and like, oh, what can I do? Or what, okay, if I worked really hard, what could I deliver or pull off? But my friend said, you know, what if Jesus raised up 1,000 people that all committed to taking 1,000 risks and documenting their own or journaling their own risks, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad, the awkward and the awesome. And if you combine those 1,000 people taking 1,000 risks, you would multiply potentially in a very short amount of time, 1,000,000 risks. And so that's just been something that I've had to bring before the Lord. Like, man, Lord, that would be amazing to see you raise up, continue raising up the body to step into greater obedience. And then the other area that I've been dreaming is that Jesus would bring Come and Live, the artist community ministry that I'm a part of, that he would bring us 100 different artists that are willing to share the gospel, preach the gospel, live the gospel outside of the church as their primary focus, and that would preach, Lord willing, to 1,000,000 people every year that don't yet know Jesus. So just touring bands, 100 bands touring the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus, modeling the kingdom to 1,000,000 people that don't know him. So basically, I'm dreaming on millions right now, and which honestly sounds a little like, I find myself, like, as I share this, a little nervous, like, man, I feel like maybe I'm slightly crazy, you know, but I, at the same time, someone once said to me that, you know, if you can pull off your own dreams, then it's going to be questionable whether or not they were truly God's dreams. But if you can't, if there's no way for you to pull off your dreams, then you have no one else to blame it on than God. And so it's like, that's what I want it to be, you know, it just like, God, I want to be able to blame you for it all, because I never could have pulled it off.
Yeah. Why don't you take a couple minutes and just speak to us about where you see the church going? What is Jesus doing in his bride that's so profound in this season, in this time we're in?
Well, it's, to me, what's most obvious is probably what I've seen happening in my own life and those around me, which is that the normal average in quotes, you know, as if average was even possible in the kingdom. But I have to use a different word, but sort of ordinary, what we would think as the seemingly ordinary person is becoming more and more empowered to walk out a lifestyle of righteousness to Jesus, through Jesus, and towards everyone else, where loving people around us, it isn't some high pressure Friday night outreach, although that's, you know, Friday night outreaches are great, but it's not just a, guys, come on, let's get hyped, let's like do this, and let's go out for an hour and love on people. As much as there is a place for that, I think that the body is beginning to realize that opportunities are everywhere, and there are moments that the Lord is setting up for us all over the place that have nothing to do with a specific, you know, kind of a structured plan or orchestrated event or that kind of a thing. And so I just think that the body is becoming more and more of the body and operating, you know, so many different parts and pieces and you know, all these different members of the body coming together and using their gifts to complement one another. And so I think that there's, to me, there seems to be way more complementing of the gifts in the body and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Holy Spirit than there is division over it. And, you know, the qualms and issues that sometimes come up. So, yeah. So I don't know if you would agree, but that seems to me, maybe one of the more exciting things that God's doing.
Yeah, I definitely agree, and I definitely see that happening everywhere. We are so excited about the things you're talking about and about your book. Help us connect our listeners to you by giving us some websites and social information.
Yeah, so my own, they can find me personally online, chadisliving.com. And then the larger kind of ministry umbrella is comeandlive.com. And then the book is on Amazon, of course, an easy place for people to find it.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Chad, yeah. I really appreciate your heart. I really love you too, your Clint. Perspective, and I love what you're doing. Thank and you. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Dude, thank you for having me. I feel totally honored and stoked. I look forward to hanging out with you in the real, like, not only in like funny rooms, but actually in real life. That'll be a good day.
Yeah.
It is so great to have Chad Johnson on the program with us today. Go check out his website, chadisliving.com. Lots of great YouTube video clips of him ministering all over the world with a team of people. Some really incredible, inspiring stories to help you take risks in your own life. Next week, we're going to sit down with Andy Rozier from Vertical Worship and talk about a generation of change. Join us then on the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.